What are the essentials of life? Well, according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the basic and most fundamental level of need is physiological. That is, food, water, warmth, and rest. Those are the basic things we need of life, and hopefully, in a moment, we'll be able to get up Maslow's hierarchy. Can you see the PowerPoint? John, do you think you might help him? Thanks. So Maslow developed this tool suggesting that our basic needs have to be satisfied first. It's like a pyramid with a triangle. The basic needs at the bottom are those physiological needs, and then it goes up into a peak at the top of the triangle, which is that point where you need to grow and develop. And we might think about self-actualization. It's a tool that's used in management and as a business tool and in developing people. But Maslow developed this tool quite some time ago now, and with no reference to faith or to the human need for God. Although, interestingly, he subsequently realized that humanity is quite a lot more complex than just going up a sort of ladder of needs from the basic needs of physiological through the need for security, through the need for belonging and to be loved, through the need for self-esteem to be met, to that pinnacle where we grow and develop with self-actualization. Actually, it's not as simple as that. We don't sort of work in steps as humans, and that we can actually do some of these levels all simultaneously. We can start to grow and develop as a person wherever we are in that hierarchy. And we know this intuitively as human beings because we spend a lot of time searching. We search to satisfy our hunger. We search for freedom. We search for wholeness. We search for calm, for peace, for security. We search for satisfaction and fulfillment. We search for the way to lead a fulfilling and fruitful life. And the pivotal verse in John's Gospel, which was the beginning of our Gospel reading today and the end of our Gospel reading last week, and we actually learnt it. Those of you who were here last week for our all-age service, we spent some time actually learning this verse. And it's from John chapter 6, verse 35. And it says, Jesus says this, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus wasn't just addressing those fundamental needs for life, the food, water, shelter. He was also addressing our human needs at every level in Maslow's hierarchy. Jesus meets our physical needs. Earlier in this same chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus took bread and fish, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he shared it. And it fed that crowd of over 5,000 men plus women and children. Jesus meets our physical needs. He shows us how to share, how to meet one another's needs for those things as well. That's why we're called to do things like be part of the Greenwich Food Bank, to open up this church building for our Winter Night Shelter. Jesus reached out to outcasts of society, recognizing that we all need to belong and be a loving relationship with him and with one another. Jesus, our Creator, is aware of our every need, and he's able to meet our every need, including our need for forgiveness and wholeness. Augustine, that famous saint of the fourth century, said this, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God." Ultimately, it's only in Jesus that we find the answer to our searching. It's only in Jesus that we find the satisfaction for all our needs. Now, the crowd in the Gospel passage today was struggling with all of this, partly because they knew and recognized Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, and they thought, if we know his parents, how can he possibly be God? How can he be the bread of heaven? the only answer to this doubt and to this deadly unbelief, if you like, is for God to draw us into faith. And this is what Jesus is talking about in that verse in our gospel reading when he says, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I'll raise that person up on the last day." In our search, what satisfies, God, our loving Father, draws us to himself through Jesus. And he draws us into belonging to his family through the journey of baptism. Ooh, we're nearly there. Then he feeds us with himself through the gift of bread and wine at Holy Communion. Don't worry too much. If you can't get it up properly, it's... Oh, great. Thank you. There's Maslow's hierarchy. You can just whiz through till you get to the baptism slide. Oh, that's us searching the verse. That's... Oh, just go back to that one. That was the... Our hearts are restless till we find God. Thank you. Can you go on? Can you turn the lights back on for this, David, please? Thank you. I don't want to be in utter darkness at the front. So he draws us into belonging to his family through the journey of baptism. Then he feeds us with himself through the gift of bread and wine at Holy Communion, the bread of heaven. As we remember the astonishing truth that the bread of heaven gives life to the world by dying on the cross. So if you like, the bread of heaven is no free lunch. It will cost Jesus his life. But feeding on this bread is a meal ticket for life, for the bread of heaven never runs out. The wellspring of living water in Jesus never runs dry. So let's remind ourselves of that verse again, and it should come up on the screen this time. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, I've got some water in this pot, and I've lost my place. I've got some water in this pot, and actually I thought I might use this water to put in the font here for Sophia's baptism. So I'm just going to pour some water out of my pot. Okay. There we go. And that water reminds me of God's abundant provision for us, because part of that provision is the water of life, which is so important for us. We're 70% water. We clean ourselves with water. We need to drink water for life. And Jesus uses that picture of the everlasting stream of water as the picture of life that he gives us. So let me just show you how that everlasting stream of water works. Okay. So Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" God's provision is everlasting, is all that we need. Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, and there was loads of it. It didn't run out. Can we just have the photo of... Yep, that was just like Sydney and Linda's wedding a year ago. The wine didn't run out, did it? Let me pour out some more water. Really is everlasting. God meets all our needs and never stops. God created the world. God created all of us, humanity, and it's wonderful and amazing and beautiful. Watch, I'm going to pour some more water out of my pot. But we know that things went wrong and people turned away from God. People turned their backs on his goodness and turned towards the world. People became enslaved to the things of the world, looking to meet their needs in things like money, power, status, wealth, rather than in Jesus. They became separated from God. But God didn't leave us there. He became human in the person of Jesus to reach out to us in his great mercy, love, and compassion, to be for us the bread of heaven. Jesus suffered and died on the cross so that we could be rescued from our separation from God. And on the third day, as he had promised, he rose again to new life. And it's through the death and the resurrection of Jesus that God restores us to himself and offers us new life and hope with him. It's through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we're released from slavery to the things of the world to freedom with God. And it's through the death and resurrection of Jesus that God draws every one of us to himself and raises us up to new life at the last day. It's a wonderful story that goes on and on and on. This is the promise of Christian baptism. For the waters of baptism are about being washed clean, a sign of dying to our old lives without God and rising to new life with God. It's the story of the amazing and transforming power of God's love, that God draws us to himself and God fulfills all of our needs. This is the invitation to step out on the next stage of the journey of faith with God. Baptism's a journey not made alone, but in company, for baptism's all about being part of God's family, about belonging and being in relationship with God and one another.